Ephesians chapter 6, and begin reading at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Amen. And we'll finish our reading there at the end of verse 20. I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. Child of God, that question simply is, do you ever get cast down? Do you ever feel like the Christian faith is so difficult? You look ahead at all the things that perhaps lie ahead in front of you, and then you look within and you see how small your faith is. You see how weak you are. You think, how on earth am I ever going to be able to continue holding on to Christ? And as such, you get downcast. You get discouraged. And you wonder, how on earth am I ever going to carry on? Life's so difficult. With all the challenges, with all the temptations, all the difficulties it brings. Life's so difficult. And this morning, by God's grace, I want to bring you a word of encouragement. And that word of encouragement will come by looking at the armour of God that's found here in Ephesians chapter 6. But before we look at the armour, let me just explain just very quickly this book of Ephesians. This whole book is a book of encouragement. It's a book that the Apostle Paul wrote to seek to put strength into those believers, those Christians at Ephesus. And of course, God, by His Holy Spirit, wrote it not just for them, but wrote it for us. He'll be able to put strength into us. In the first three chapters, we are reminded again and again that our salvation does not depend on us. It depends on God. He is the God of our salvation. For example, in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. His choosing to save us wasn't based on anything that we would do. It's entirely by His grace and His mercy. It depends on Him. Second of all, we're also in chapter 2, Paul reminds us that we're saved by grace, not of works. Then in chapter 3, we're told that being saved, Christ has given us God the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to ever be with us, and therefore to ever strengthen us. And therefore be encouraged with that simple truth that's repeated again and again in chapters 1 to 3. God is the God of our salvation. And even though we are weak, yet He is strong. Then in chapters 4 and 5, and the beginning of chapter 6, we are not only told about the assurance of our salvation, that it's in God, but we're now told about the freedom of our salvation. And if it's your desire this morning to want to live for the Lord, we'll be encouraged. Because while there are difficulties, yet God has saved us, not only to forgive us of our sin, but to free us from our sin. He saved us that in chapter 4 we're told that we will serve Him. That's His will, that's His desire. We don't need to try and work it up. He wants us to serve Him. He wants to use us. Chapter 5, He's also told us that He has saved us, that we would be like Him, that we would be like His Son. And again, in this book of Ephesians, we're given encouragements. Our salvation is in God's hands. But even more than that, God has saved us to use us. And therefore, if you want to live for the Lord, well, be encouraged, because God wants to use you. But then in chapter 6, we are told about an enemy. We're told about the reality of that enemy. In verse 11, we're told the name of the enemy. We're told that it's the devil. It says there that we're to put on the armour of God, the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, while we're saved, while we're in God's hands, and no creature, including the devil himself, and including us, we can't take ourselves out of God's hand, yet that doesn't mean that we don't have a devil who will still seek to attack us. We have an enemy. And in verse 12, that enemy is described. First of all, it's described as a spiritual enemy. It says there that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not an enemy that we can see with our eyes. It's not an enemy that we can fight with our fists. And as such, that makes this enemy, the devil, difficult, because we can't see when he's coming. And we can't fight him with our fists. We can't get a gun and shoot him. It makes the enemy difficult. He's spiritual. More than being spiritual, this enemy is strong. See, we're told we fight against principalities, and that word gives the idea that there's many. While there's one devil, yet there's many demons, there's many servants to the devil. There's many different ranks. It's a strong enemy. It says also with the word powers. That's what we fight against, a strong enemy as well as a spiritual one, but even more than that, we fight against an evil enemy, a sinister one. It says there that we fight against spiritual wickedness in high places, or indeed about heavenly matters. His enemy will seek to attack us in many different ways, many different times, will seek to attack us. But while the devil will attack us in many different ways, and while he's strong, and while he's sinister, and all the rest of it, yet the Apostle Paul, he sums up the strategy of the enemy, because he says there in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Seeks to attack us with deception. But praise the Lord, while the enemy is strong, yet the God has provided for us an armour. An armour that if we put on, we will be able to stand strong against the devil. Stand strong against his doubts. Stand strong against his deceits. And so I want this morning to look at that armour, and specifically putting on the armour of God. Now, just as a word of introduction, in the sense about this armour, many people will say that the armour refers to the life of the Christians, about living an honest life, a righteous life, a good life, a pure life, and there's truth in that. But yet, personally, I believe the armour refers to Christ himself. It refers to the Lord of the Christian. Because you see, no matter how good a life we can live, no matter how honest we seek to live, we'll never live well enough, because the devil will always be able to find chinks in our armour if it's about us. But yet, if the armour's Christ, then he'll never find a single chink in that armour. And therefore, whenever we look at this armour and putting on the armour, it's really about putting on Christ and remembering who Christ is. So the first piece of armour we're told to put on is found there in verse 14. We're told to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The first piece of armour we're to put on is the belt of truth. You see, whenever the Roman, what the type of clothes that the Romans would have worn, would have been long flowing robes. It would have went down, generally speaking, to the ankles. And therefore, whenever the Romans were going to go out to war, what they would have done is they would have got the bottom of the robe and pulled it up and tucked it round about their waist, round about their loins, the top of their legs. Because, you see, they knew that if they were in the middle of the battlefield and an enemy was to come to attack them, if their legs, if they had a long flowing robe round about them, well, they're going to be inhibited, aren't they? They're not going to be able to stand strong and stand in a stable way. But they could trip up and fall. So therefore, that's why they made their legs nice and free. They girt or fastened a belt round about the top of their legs to hold the robe in place, so that no matter what enemy came, they'd be able to stand strong and stand stable. Child of God, you and I, are lovingly commanded to put on the belt of truth, to remember that Christ is the truth. You see, if we can only stand strong if we know that what we believe is true. Let me give you an example. And that example is by asking you a question. And the question very simply is, what age do you think I am? Okay, and I'm going to give you three options. Some of you know me a fair bit, and some of you might know my age, but and some of you might be not know, but three options. First option is, I'm less than 27 years old. Second option, I am 27 years old. And the third option, I'm over 27 years old. Okay, so I'm going to pick an option A, B, or C. Less than 27, am 27, or over 27. If, with the choice that you made, are you willing to put your Sunday lunch on the line? So that if you get it wrong, if you go home, that even though it smells lovely and it looks lovely, you'll not eat it. I wonder how many people would be willing to do that. How many people are 100% sure that they're right? You see, if we're not 100% sure about something, we're a bit rocky, aren't we? We're basically like a soldier who, if say for example we're 50% sure, we're like a soldier who stands in one foot. Imagine a soldier standing on one foot and an enemy comes to attack him, well, the soldier would be able to fall over easily. Even if you're 99% sure about something, you're like a soldier who stands on 2 feet, but yet he's standing on his tiptoes. He's more stable, but yet if an enemy comes to attack him, again he could fall over. But yet if you're 100% sure about something, and you're like someone who stands firm on 2 feet, and no matter who comes against you or what comes against you, you'll be able to stand strong. Because what you're standing on, what you're resting on, is truth. It's not a theory. It's truth. It's a fact. And no matter what anyone else says, you know it's true. Now the answer is that I'm 28 years old, so therefore the answer would be C, that I'm over 28. Over 27. Let me ask another question. How many of you think that I'm less than 300 years old? Would you be willing to put your Sunday lunch in the line on that? Of course you would. Why? Because it's so clear, it's a fact without doubt. Whenever we know a truth, we can stand strong. No matter what anyone else says, you can stand strong. You can stand stable. You see, child of God, this morning the devil will come and he'll seek to put doubts into your head. You'll say, you see that promise that God gave in John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? You can't trust that. Salvation's not that simple. It's more to it than that. You see, where Christ has promised in Hebrews 13, you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Look at your life. So you don't know God's presence. Look how often you fail. God left you long ago. See where Christ has promised that if you acknowledge him in all your ways and you trust him with all your heart, he'll bless you. The Lord for days, my weeks, my months, my for his guidance in a certain matter, but yet he hasn't guided you. You can't trust the Bible. You can't trust Christ. You see where he has promised that his word, just as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and comes forth, that come to him void. Look how often you've spoken God's word, but yet how little fruit do you see from it? You can't trust Christ. You see where he has promised that his heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Power and effectiveness. What power and effectiveness do you have in your life? You're weak, you're barren, you're cold. You can't trust his promise. You can't trust Christ. Children of God, this morning, before the devil comes with his doubts, what do? You put on the belt of truth. You point up to Christ and you say, Christ is the truth. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Peter's epistle, he said that Christ is one who did no sin. Neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. He is truth. Everything he's ever done is true. Everything he's ever said is true. Anything he's ever promised is true. He is truth. He cannot lie. Whereas, devil, you are a liar and the father of it. Don't listen to the doubts of the devil. Look away and see Christ, God the Son. The one who is truth. and the promises that He has given, you rest on those promises. Not your feelings, but on the promises of God. Christ is the truth. That's the first thing we're to remember. That's the first piece of armor we're to put on, that Christ is the truth. Second piece of armor we're to put on is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. In verse 14, we're told to stand, therefore, to stand strong, having your loins girt about with truth, but also having on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the Roman soldier, he would have put on that belt, but he also, after that, would have put on a breastplate. Now, you think, well, what a breastplate is. A breastplate is something that's strong. It wasn't made of cardboard or paper. It was made of metal. Generally speaking, it was very strong. You see, it was very important because the breastplate would cover several different things, but very particularly it would cover the heart. And you see, Satan will come along, the great deceiver, and again he'll seek to put doubts into your mind. He'll look at your heart and he'll say, you call yourself a Christian? You say that God loves you? Nonsense. Nonsense. Does the Bible not say in Psalm 45 and verse 7 that God loveth righteousness but hateth wickedness? God loves that which is perfect, that which is right, that which is pure, but yet you look at your heart. Do you not fall into that sin again and again? You look at your life. Look at your thoughts. Look at the thoughts of lust that come again and again into your life. Look at your selfishness. Look at your coldness. Your heart, your whole life, it's filled with wickedness. It's filled with corruption. You say God loves you. Look at your heart. It's full of wickedness. God doesn't love you. God hates you because of your sin, because you keep falling, because you keep sinning. Child of God, whenever Satan comes with his doubts, what do we need to do? We need to put on that breastplate that covers our heart. And who is the breastplate? Who is our righteousness? It's Christ. Again, point up. See, Jeremiah 23 verse 6 tells that the Messiah, that the Savior, that He would be called the Lord our righteousness. Jesus, God the Father, does not love us because of what we have done. Our heart is full of deceitfulness. Our heart is wicked. We do fear the Lord each day. But yet we can rest assured that God loves us not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. He has lived that perfect life for us. And whenever we trusted in Him, the Bible tells in Isaiah 61, the verse 10, that He clothed us with a robe of perfection. You think of a robe flowing down. It covers our heart. It covers our life. Whenever God looks down from above, He doesn't see us in our sin, but He sees Christ covering us. And even though we feel and we fall, yet His love for us is still and sure, because it's Christ He sees and not us. Whenever Satan comes with his doubts, what do? You point up to Christ. Christ is not only the truth, Christ is my righteousness. And even though I feel, I know God loves me and His love for me will never fail. The third piece of armour we're told to put on is found there in verse 15. And it is the sandals of peace. We're told there that we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you imagine a Roman soldier standing there, waiting his captain's command? He's willing to serve the master. He's ready to serve his master wherever his master asks him to go. And then the master, the captain, gives him a command and says, I want you to go onto that beach. I then want you to go to storm the beach and then to climb up the rocks. And then go forth on in through the forest and over the mountains. The Roman soldier, while he's willing, while he has that great desire to listen to his master and to serve his master, yet he looks down at his feet. And he hasn't got anything on, he's just in his bare feet. And he looks ahead. He thinks, how am I going to do that? Whenever I get onto that sand, the enemy comes against me, that sand will be scorching hot. Whenever I then go to try and climb up those rocks, my feet will not be able to bear it. Whenever I go through the forest and you got the thorns and the thistles and the nettles, you go through the mountains, small sharp stones. I want to serve my master, but yet I can't. You see, the devil will come along and seek, and God willing, it's your desire, child of God, to want to live for the Lord, to want to serve Him. But yet, do you ever get the doubt coming into your head that you can't serve Him? Do you ever get the doubt coming into your head that you can't live that life for Him? You haven't got what you need. You haven't got the strength. You haven't got the ability. You haven't got the talent. You're useless. Do you ever get that thought coming into your head? What are we to do? You point up again to Christ. Why? Because He is the captain of our salvation. Whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did not only purchase forgiveness of sins, but He purchased for us God the Holy Spirit to ever dwell with us. And the Holy Spirit would ever be the strength that we need. There's a promise that's given in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, also will do it. You see, the Roman soldier, whenever he was asked by his captain to go out, whether it was over the sand, whether it was over the rocks, whatever it may be, the captain wouldn't have sent him out in his bare feet. And the captain would have given him thick soles on his sandals that covered his feet. And ever, no matter where he went, he had this peace that the Lord would ever provide him with all they needed. Child of God, no matter what the Lord asks you to do, He will provide you with what you need. The Lord's asked you to serve Him, whether it's in the work here, with youth fellowship, children's meeting, whether it's to give a word of testimony, whether it's to speak to someone, or even whether it's to look after someone who's not well. And you think, but I haven't got the strength to do it. I haven't got the ability, I haven't got the talent to do it. Point up to Christ, who is the captain of our salvation, according to Hebrews 2 verse 10. And faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Corinthians tells us that God has given to every single one that trusts in Him, God the Holy Spirit. He's given every single one of us a talent. My son may not know what those talents are, yet the simple reality is, we say, Lord, give me an opportunity to serve You. And then as you open up your eyes and look around and see where there is an opportunity, as you seek to serve the Lord in that, whether you ever knew what talents you had or not, yet you will know this, that God is using your talent for His glory. Christ will provide you with what you need. The good news of peace and forgiveness of sins, yes, but also providing us with all that we need for whatever He calls us to do. Don't fear. Don't give up. Look up and see Christ. The one who is the truth. The one who is our righteousness. And whereby God loves us. And the one who is our peace, our captain. Fourthly, we're to put on the shield of faith. We're to take the shield of faith there in verse 16. We're told above all, taking the shield of faith, with you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I want you to imagine this morning that you all stand up and you all move over to this side of the room. And as you all line up on that side of the room, I want you to imagine that an enemy comes in through the doors and they line up on this side of the room. And they've got bows and arrows in their hand. And as you stand there, you see the enemy all dressed in black and pretty ugly and not very nice looking, but they get the arrow, they dip it in fire, and then they get the bow, they put the arrow on the bow and they pull it out and they stretch it and they aim it at you. Tell me, how would you feel? Dozens upon dozens upon dozens of fiery arrows pointing at you. Would you be filled with fear? You see, the Bible tells us here that the devil, he fires fiery darts. That word darts can refer to arrows. He fires fiery arrows at us. Why? Not because he can destroy us. He can't destroy us. We're in Christ's hand. But why? So he'll seek to put fear in us. That will not carry on. You see, we can know that Christ is the truth. We can know that Christ is our righteousness. We can know that Christ will provide us with all the talents and abilities that we need. But yet, we can look at our lives, as I mentioned at the very beginning, and see that our faith is so small. Lord, I want to serve You. But yet, Lord, my faith is so small. And therefore, you can be filled with fear. But yet, here's a wonderful thing. What was it that Jesus Christ said to Abraham in Genesis 15? He said, Abraham, fear not, for I am thy shield. And thy exceeding great reward. Jesus Christ is our shield. Ephesians 2 tells us that our faith, it's Christ who gives us that faith. The apostles cried, Lord, increase our faith. Because they knew it came from Him. And yes, while our faith is small, yet whenever we see, whenever this fear comes upon us, what do? We look up again, we see Christ.
And we say, Lord, my faith is small, but yet, Lord, I ask you, give me the faith that I need. And then you just, like you set a shield in front of you, and the shield, it takes all the brunt of the darts. It doesn't touch you. So you just get Christ, and just you set him in front of you and take one step at a time. Christ will ever give you the faith that you need. Just one step at a time, he'll give you the faith that you need. You don't need to fear what lies ahead. Christ is your faith, and he is your shield, and he will take all the brunt. He'll take all the attack of the darts. The last piece of armour I want to look at, and that is because it's the last piece of defensive armour, and that's the helmet of salvation. It's found there in verse 17. We're told, take the helmet of salvation. I have to be honest with you this morning. Whenever I learned about the armour of God in Sunday school, and I heard it being preached in church services, I could never understand this piece of armour. This piece of armour is for Christians, but yet why is it the Christians are told to take the helmet of salvation? Surely they're already saved. Yet whenever I began to study this piece of armour, I began to understand that the Bible tells us more specifically in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 18. Sorry, verse 8. That this helmet is not just the helmet of salvation, but even more specifically, it's the helmet of the hope of salvation. You see, often we refer the word hope to that which is a mere wish. We hope it's a nice day tomorrow. We hope the week goes well. Whatever it may be. But the word hope in Scripture does not refer to a wish. It refers to that which is certain, that which is expected, that which will come to pass. And therefore, we are encouraged and indeed lovingly commanded to put on the hope of salvation. Put on the certainty of salvation. Look up again and see Christ, the one who is your hope. He is the anchor to the soul, according to Hebrews 6:19. He is the one who is our hope. He is the one who is our certainty. He is the one who is our assurance. He's upholding us with his hand, and we will see him in heaven one day. This world, with all its difficulties, with all its struggles, with all its temptations, with all the darts and all the rest of it, it's not the end. We will see Christ one day. We will see him face to face. We will have that perfect, he'll give us that perfect heart. We'll not struggle with sin anymore. We'll not struggle with temptation anymore. And give us that perfect heart to love him. Whenever he looks at us, he'll not see even a single taint of sin. Even if he looked the whole way through us, he'd only ever see that which is abounding and 100% full love for him. And he has a perfect heart. He'll also give us a perfect body whenever we stand before him that day. Perfect body with which we can serve him, not in part, serve him fully. Never failing, never having to repeat anything, never having to adjust anything, but doing it perfectly. And we can enjoy him in it. We'll glorify him perfectly and enjoy him forever. Child of God, put on the hope, the certainty of salvation. This world with all its difficulties and struggles, it's not the end. Someday soon you will see Christ face to face. And you'll love him and you'll serve him with a perfect heart and a perfect body. Be encouraged. And you'll never be cast out of heaven. It'll never stop. It's for all eternity. You and I have an enemy this morning. That enemy is the devil with all his demons. And he comes and he seeks to put doubts into your head. What do you do? Even before he comes, but even especially when he comes, you point him up to Christ. Christ is the truth. I can believe every promise he's given to me in this book, every word he's ever said. It is true. I may not always feel his presence, but yet I know it's there. And whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember that Christ is the truth. Remember that Christ is your righteousness. God loves you with an infinite love greater than you can ever imagine. And that love will never fail because Christ is the one that covers us. Remember that Christ is our peace. Whatever he asks us to do, to serve him. As we have that heart, we will know that as we go out in his strength, he will give us all that we need. He is our faith. Even though our faith at times can be small, and then we can fear, yet looking up to him, And trusting in Him, He will ever give us that faith that we need. And we can therefore step one step at a time with that shield of Christ in front of us. Lastly, He is that certainty of salvation. You and I will see Him one day. The battle will be over. The war is won. Won whenever Christ died on the cross and He rose again. But the battle that you and I go through, it'll be over. But love Him with a perfect heart for all eternity. Child of God, be encouraged this morning. As I studied this just over a year ago, actually, I sought to remember those truths nearly every single day. And I can tell you, every single time I remember those truths of Christ, they encourage me, they strengthen me. And can I encourage you to follow God's command to put on the armour? It's not just advice, it's a loving command. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you will do all to stand. If you're not saved this morning, while the Christians have an enemy, you have an enemy. An enemy that seeks to deceive you. An enemy that seeks to devour you. And he will devour you if you try and fight him in your own strength. But I encourage you, look up and see Christ, the one who offers himself freely to you this morning, to give you that faith that you need, to cover you with his righteousness, to give you that strength, to give you His Holy Spirit, to change your life, to make you that new creature. To have that peace that God loves you with an infinite and perfect love. When you turn from your sin and come to Christ this morning, Christ will give Himself fully to you. Not just for a moment or two, but for all eternity. He says to you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. When you come to Christ this morning, question comes to everyone, what will we do with Christ? He is our Saviour. May God bless His word to your hearts. Time is gone. With your head bowed, let me just read to you what the last hymn would have been. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth feel, God will take care of you. When danger's fierce, your path is sealed, God will take care of you. Through every day, o'er all the way, He will take care of you. May God help every single one of us to look up and to see Christ, and therefore to trust in Him, and to be encouraged by Him. Our Heavenly Father, I ask Thee, be pleased to take Thy word this morning. Lord, Thou hast blessed me so much through it. Lord, I ask Thee that Thou wouldst be pleased to continue to bless me. But I ask Thee especially here this morning, Lord, let Thy word be a blessing to everyone. Encourage those who are Thy children. Lord, we all face different attacks. Lord, I ask Thee, encourage them. Let them see Christ afresh in who He is every day. And Lord, so may they be able to stand strong as they rest not in feelings, but rest in Him. And any who are not saved, Lord, I ask Thee, be pleased. Let them see that they have an enemy who seeks to devour them, who seeks to destroy them, who seeks, Lord, that they will go to hell for all eternity. But Lord, let them see Christ, the one who offers Himself freely to them, to forgive them for all their sin, and then to be their strength now and forever. Come, Lord. Let Thy word live as Thou hast promised it will. It's quick and living. He's sharper than any two-edged sword. Keep Thy promise. Bring us back safe again this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.